warning. What you are about to hear is guaranteed to move you out of your comfort zone towards higher ground. You have just one attempt at life. Live it on purpose, not by accident. For a person to be without complete and accurate knowledge is not good. Therefore, you are invited as you listen to the senior pastor, Daystar Christian Center, and presenter, Success Power, Reverend Sam Adeyemi.
Send your word. Send your word. Send your word. Send your word to that brother. Send your word to that sister. Send your word into that marriage. Send your word into somebody's finances. Send your word into that business. In the name of Jesus Christ. Lord, when your word comes in, corruption stops. When your word comes in, oppression is terminated. When your word comes in, curses are broken. Where we had curses, now we have blessings. Lord, tonight, send your word. And let your word mark a turning point. Thank you. In the name of Jesus Christ. Somebody say a good amen. Hallelujah. The Bible says concerning Joseph, when his word came, tell somebody close to you, my word is coming tonight. Tonight's word is my word. Shake hands with the person. Tell the person congratulations. Let's be seated. Hallelujah. So when somebody was greeting you Happy New Year this year, I think it's turning out to be so. It's a Happy New Year. It's an exciting New Year. This is a fantastic New Year. I like the way God is starting with me. Hallelujah. Oh, glory to God. Starting the year in the Word. And the rest of the year will be for manifestation. Hallelujah. Oh, thank you, Jesus. I think tonight we have here some incurable optimists. We have some people who are not going to take no for an answer. And we have here tonight people who are not going to take it easy with bad news and with bad moods this year. Hallelujah. Carriers of bad news will have to find somewhere else to go. Because in this place, they have no candidates. Amen. Oh, glory to God. Jesus was saying something. Peter was contradicting him. He said, get thee behind me, Satan! Peter was not the Satan. But whoever gave him the idea of what he was talking about was the Satan. And Jesus was going to get the devil out. This year, that's how you will react. Negative confession. Amen. Whatever it is that will make your mood to sink, go down, react, pick it up. They came with bad news. And then told this man, don't bother the master anymore. The girl is dead. And Jesus saw, you could see it on the man's face. His mood was going down. And Jesus just shook him up. Don't be afraid, mister. Only believe. Only believe. Fear is the direct opposite of faith. When fear comes in, you attract bad things. With faith, all things are possible to him that believes. Mister, stay in the realm of possibility. Don't be a magnet for problems. for negative testimonies. So last night we said attitude is power. Attitude is power. Bad things happen to negative people. Good things happen to positive people. And some of us have chosen to be positive, dangerously positive, like Jesus Christ, where everybody else is crying, we'll be laughing. And we won't allow anybody mourning around us when there's still the possibility of a miracle. Jesus shot every, can you imagine one man coming into a house, everybody was hollering and crying, and he shuts everybody up. Why all this noise? And then he lands them a powerful, positive confession. She's not dead. She's only sleeping. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Just when they think it is finished this year, they will realize it is not finished at all. It is just about to move to a new level. Hallelujah. You know, our society is a very sorrowful one. It is a society that has made a culture of self-pity. A society that thrives on sympathy. When you watch home videos, you can see it. A Yoruba play is not sweet until it has sorrow. Deep sorrow. No wonder there hasn't been development for a long time. Because all the days of the afflicted are evil. But he that is of a merry heart has a continual feast. This year you will feast. Before you are through celebrating one testimony, another one will land. Because you started this year in celebration mood. You're going to run through it in celebration mood. You will end in explosive celebration fashion. In the name of Jesus Christ. Tonight, attitude is a choice. Attitude is a choice. I still remember Parable of Dollars seminar last year. I still remember how Dr. S.I. Makinwa told us of his story. How one particular boy used to beat him up every single time they met on the road when he was a young boy in the village. And how one day his mother sent him to take something from the room. And on his way out of the room, he just looked briefly into the mirror in his mother's room. And when he saw himself, he said something rose within him. He said that thing has to rise inside everybody. He said something rose within him when he looked at that person in the mirror. He said that voice just told him, come on, you're a strong boy. You can beat him. He stood there briefly and did some self-talk. That self-talk really matters. For some people it is, you are ugly. You are finished. You don't have connection. You don't have money. You don't have qualification. You don't have anything. Everything is stacked up against you. It's difficult for you to make it. It's not people like you that make it. But this particular day, what he had was positive. And he said, when he reported back to his mother, he ran straight to the place where this boy was playing with other guys and called him. He said, the guy was wondering what it was about. He gave him the first slap. The guy was wondering what it was. He gave him the second one, picked the guy up, knocked him on the ground, and beat him there till they came, they pulled him off. Said, from today. Now, the reality is that physically, he was not any much stronger than he had been before. But mentally, something changed. Emotionally, something had changed. When you change inside, you change outside. And we said, yesterday, when you change your attitude, you change your life. Attitude is a coin with two sides. And you have the power to turn either side. One side of it is positive. The other side is negative. Today, you've made some choices. You chose when to get out of your bed. You chose what to put on. You chose what to eat. You chose where to go. And tonight I want to tell you, just like you had the power to make those choices, you can choose what to think. And you can choose how you feel. You can choose what you think, and you can choose how you feel. Choosing is simply making a decision. And it is decision that determines destiny. It's your choice. There's this quote, rings in my heart all the time. It's a long one from Chuck Swindoll, a pastor in the United States. He said, "The longer I live, the more convinced I become that life is 10% what happens to us and 90% how we respond to it." He said, "I believe the single most significant decision I can make on a day-to-day basis is my choice of attitude. It is more important than my past, my education, my bankroll, my successes or failures, fame or pain. What other people think of me or say about me, my circumstances or my position." He said, "Attitude keeps me going or cripples my progress. It alone fuels my fire or assaults my hope. When my attitudes are right," he said, "there is no barrier too high, no valley too deep, no dream too extreme, no challenge too great for me." Attitude. More important, he said, than my past, than my education, my bankroll, my successes, or my failures. And you remember we said last night, attitude is more important than fact. Attitude is more important than fact. This pastor said, "My attitude is more important than what other people think of me or say about me." Those are the points where we fail on the question of attitude. He thinks I'm a fool. But my attitude is more important than what he is thinking. So he thinks I'm a fool should not become I think I'm a fool. You said what he thinks about you, but what do you think about yourself? He feels that I'm stupid. That's okay. How do you feel about yourself? Because your attitude is more important than the fact of what that person thinks or says. He says, "My attitude is more important than my successes." Remarkable. Remarkable. There are people who are successful temporarily. Because when a person has a negative attitude, they tend to feel that when things are working for them, it is a setup for things that are still going to go bad. So when people have a negative attitude, they tend to think when things are not working for them that it's going to be like that for a long time. And then unfortunately, when things are working for them, they tend to feel it's a temporary thing. That somewhere along the line, something is bound to go wrong. So they never relax to enjoy what's working right. And when it goes wrong, I said it. You said it. Didn't you say it? You thought it, you felt it, and you said it. And it happened. You are your own prophet. In Matthew chapter 5, Matthew chapter 5, Jesus taught us about the power we have to choose. The power we have to choose. Chuck Swindoll said, the longer I live, the more convinced I become that life is 10% what happens to us and 90% how we respond to it. It is not essentially what happens to us that hurts us. It is how we respond to the things that happen to us that actually hurt us. It is the response. It's the problem is not the problem. The problem is how we respond to the problem. You remember, Chuck Swindoll said, my attitude is more important than my circumstances or my position. My attitude is more important than the reality of the economy of Nigeria. One of the big lessons I learned in this country. There was a time when I believed with all my heart that until I left this country, things just couldn't get. The only place to succeed was abroad. Jesus said, according to your faith, so be it unto you. And since I was destined to prosper here, nothing worked. When I met opportunity here, I sidestepped opportunity and shook hands with failure. Because of my attitude. But now I've come to realize. The real America is in my heart. The world that you live in, your own world, is designed by you. It's in your attitude. Your attitude today determines your success tomorrow. My experience has been an interesting one for someone who once believed. In fact, I believed it so much that when I read the Bible, I was even cooking up revelations to support what I believed. You know the interesting thing about the Bible? Anything you are looking for, you will find it in the book. That's why most of the world's cults are founded on the Bible. Anything you are looking for. If you want to abuse men, you find scriptural basis. You want to abuse women, you find scriptural basis. In fact, if you want to kill somebody, you find it in the Bible. Good justification. Jesus himself said there will come a time when people will kill you and they will believe that they are doing God good. He warned us ahead. In the name of God, Bosa. So I saw in the Bible how Abraham took off when there was famine, Genesis 12, and went down to Egypt. Genesis 13, verse 2, and Abraham was very rich in cattle, and in silver, and in gold. When I saw the silver and gold, I said, that is hard currency. Rev. What you look for is what you see. That's why it's dangerous for you to think negatively. You just have these interesting glasses in front of your eyes. It does not allow you to see some things. It allows you to see some things. So I said, when there was famine in the Bible, it was God's arrangement too that you should go abroad, get foreign currency, and come back. I didn't see Genesis 26. Where during the time of famine, Isaac wanted to go to Egypt and God told him not to go. Stay here. And I will bless you. I didn't see it. It's attitude. It's just a matter of attitude. The first time my pastor told me, you don't need to grow anywhere. This thing is not from abroad. It is from above. Stay here. Stay with your job. He said, I'm here and I'm getting it here. He was talking to the wrong person.
Stay where?
Just like there's somebody in this congregation all the time I've been talking. He was talking to the wrong person. I said, "Is me? You have been going. You are tired of going. Then I should stay here. I will go." You have the power to choose what you think, however difficult, however negative the environment may be, however negative the messages may be coming from the environment, you still have the power to choose what you think. When I began to exercise this God-given power, like magic, and it's not magic, it's miracle, in lining up with the word of God, with the principles of God, then I began to taste the power that God has invested in our world. Grace was available, but it was being frustrated in my life. Jesus could not do any mighty works there in his own hometown. They said because of their unbelief. Hebrews chapter 3 tells us concerning Israel that God had to swear that they will not enter their promised land. And he said because of their unbelief. When I switch over this coin, I switch over my coin to the positive side, then I became surprised. And the first time, you know, somebody blessed my wife and myself with some dollars, 2,000 US dollars, right here. I took the thing into the bedroom and began to dance. And my wife was asking me, "What is it?" Ah, I said, "My miracle. My miracle has started. My miracle." She said, "What is it?" I said, "Me too. I'm getting it here." Amen. You know what I discovered? Dollar is not your problem. Euro is not your problem. Pound sterling is not your problem. They convert currencies. Get as much naira as you need. Change it to the dollar that you want and go on with your life. Is $1 not 140 naira? Anytime you need $1, get 140 naira. You have a dollar. Is it more than that? I found it very amusing when I went into a shop in the US to buy clothes, and I bought a suit, and somebody there who lives in the US came right inside the shop before I paid for the suit. When I said they should pack the thing for me, he said, "Lay hands on me." I said, "What for?" "Ah," he said, "I've seen something today." He said, "Lay hands on me. You came from Nigeria." He said, "What you are spending on one suit is what I earn in a month. And I'm in America." He said, "Lay hands on me." So I remembered what Archbishop Idahosa once said, that a lizard in Nigeria cannot become a crocodile in America. It is not location. It is attitude. If you make the mistake of believing in this country that you cannot be rich except you steal, you're in trouble. God sent us here to prove that the word works. Matthew 5. From verse 38, "You have heard that it was said, an eye for an eye, and a tooth for a tooth. But I tell you not to resist an evil person, or not to react to an evil person." That's really what it means. He says, "But whoever slaps you on the right cheek, turn the other to him also. That's a powerful statement. Until Jesus came, the law was, do me, I do you, God no vex. When somebody slaps you, he determines your thoughts and your emotions. It should be automatically fire for fire. You know, it should be auto-response. Negative auto-response. Do me, I do you, God no vex. It was sanctioned, prophetically sanctioned. Until Jesus came. In an age when people did not have the opportunity of being empowered by the Holy Spirit. When Jesus came, he said, that law stops here. You are living below your potential. Let me teach you something better. Let me take you to a higher level. When someone slaps you on the right cheek, he said, turn the left one. And some people do not understand this passage of scripture, and they think that Christ is asking us to be fools. No. No. He's asking us to step up to a higher level of living. Somebody slaps you on the right cheek. That person is trying to dominate your thoughts and to dominate your emotions. And whoever the person is, that can program your thought or your emotion has dominated your life. That person is trying to bring you under control. Whoever can control your attitude will control you. So this person slaps you. He expects that you should be angry. Expects that you should feel cheated, feel oppressed, feel dominated, and you should react by doing the same thing. And Jesus says, no, that first law that you had did not acknowledge the fact that you had the power to choose. Now I'm challenging you to exercise your power of choice. Don't let your thoughts and your emotions go haywire. Don't let them go out of control. Show the person slapping you that you have the power to control your attitude and that the person cannot program you for failure. This is the person slaps you on the right cheek. Contrary to the person's expectation, he said, turn the left one. This year, somebody here will disappoint the devil. You will disappoint poverty. In an environment like this, when poverty slaps a person on the right cheek, the person slaps back. The reaction is desperation. The reaction is tension. The reaction is anxiety. The reaction is apprehension about the future. And I'm telling you, when you're under pressure like that, the normal reaction is crime. It's corruption. It's stealing. It's fighting for survival. But some of us will disappoint the devil. When somebody who doesn't have a dime in his pocket refuses to feel the emotion of desperation, refuses to feel like a poor person, is disappointed poverty. Because then poverty has lost control over his emotions. That's where I used to be. You need to understand, the major difference between a rich man and a poor man is what happens inside them. But if you are not careful, what happens inside you will be determined by what is happening around you. Yesterday we said, what happens inside you is more important than what happens to you. What happens in you is more important than what happens to you. That's what Jesus was teaching us. I see too many people reacting to poverty. Reacting to poverty. He said, don't react to an evil person. Don't react to an evil thing. Don't react to an evil stimuli. Don't live your life a reaction. Live it as an action. Slap the right one. He says, you know what? You lost control over me. I can decide how to respond. Slap the left one. Under normal circumstances, if the person does not have something going wrong upstairs, the person shouldn't slap you the second time because the first attempt failed. The person did not get the desired results. You demonstrated more power, more maturity than the person. The person should look for something else to do. So Jesus said in verse 40, if anyone wants to sue you and take away your tunic, let him have your cloak also. In taking away your tunic, the person wants you to have thoughts and emotions of lack. Jesus says, take something bigger than what the person is looking for and give it to the person. And keep your thoughts of prosperity. The person can take away your material good today. The person can't take away your future. The person lost control over your material prosperity. Give the person something bigger than what the person is looking for. Wow. In a poor environment like this, the devil creates a lot of ill will. And people fight over small amounts of money. You know, the word forgive is a compound word that includes the word give. The same thing. Forgiving is writing off a debt. I like the illustration that Jesus used in Matthew 18 on forgiveness. One servant owed his master 10,000 talents, he said. And a fellow servant owed him 100 talents. The fact that Jesus used money to illustrate forgiveness is very, very instructive. And he said that when this man could not pay his boss, the man had him arrested, was going to throw him in prison. The man begged, the man pleaded, and the master wrote off that whole debt. That says a lot about that master. Inside him, he was a very rich man. His destiny was not tied to that money. As soon as this man was forgiven and he left, they said he saw his fellow servant who owed him 100 talents. Jesus said that he asked the man for his money, the man couldn't pay. He said he held the man by the throat. His master didn't hold him by the throat. So how do you react with respect to money matters? Oh, just 100 talents. He squeezed the man's throat. Had him thrown into jail. And you should not be surprised why he was broke and his boss was rich. Their thinkings were at two different levels. One person could write off 10,000 talents. This one could not write off 100. There is nothing anybody can take from me that will make me poor. It's too late. My wealth is not in any material thing. It's in my attitude. I'm a rich man. I'm a very rich man. Hallelujah. This year they will see someone riding on Okada, behaving and feeling and singing like somebody driving inside S-Class. You may not have control over the external, but you have control over the internal. And this is the year someone is going to exercise that control. I came to say tonight that your attitude is your choice. Most people behave like they do not have the power to control their attitudes. They surrender the leadership of their lives, surrender the leadership of their attitudes to external factors and circumstances, instead of controlling their attitudes. They allow their attitudes to control them. Jesus said, whoever compels you to go 1 mile, go with him too. Give to him who asks you. And from him who wants to borrow from you, do not turn away. You have heard that it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say to you, love your enemies. Bless those who curse you. Do good to those who hate you. And pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you. It's remarkable. It's remarkable. The person who curses you, Say, God, punish your mother. Say, God, bless your home. Hallelujah. Say, you're a fool. Say, God, bless you. And you're smiling. Why? What he said is of no consequence. Somebody says, you're a fool. You say, me? You said I'm a fool? You say, confession has started. You said I'm a fool? Me a fool? I will show you. Confession has moved on to manifestation. I will show you. Me? He said you're a fool. So who are you? So the person is exercising control over your thoughts and over your emotions. When somebody, maybe a bus conductor or who is very angry, says, "Were." So, for me now to begin to get angry, you see, the difference is clear. It's more than 7 up. So, to now add causes to the person's life is not necessary. That person needs blessing. When you get to write what I'm writing, you won't be as annoyed as that again. Best is to pray. He said, bless. Somebody else is cursing. He said, bless. Exercise your power of control. So when people have abdicated the responsibility of choosing their attitudes, choosing their thoughts, choosing their feelings, that's when they blame and accuse other people and circumstances for their emotions and their thoughts. And they do not realize that is irresponsibility. When you refuse to exercise your power of response, that is lack of responsibility. I'm asking tonight, let us take responsibility for what we think and how we feel this year. Nobody has the right to dominate your thoughts. Isaiah 61, Jesus said, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me. I mean, it was a prophecy about the Christ. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me. He has anointed me. Listed the things he was sent to do. And then in verse 3 of Isaiah 61, he says, to appoint unto those who mourn in Zion. He says, there are people in Zion, the place of deliverance, but something is wrong with their emotions. Something is wrong with their attitudes. He said, to appoint unto those who mourn in Zion, to give them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, and the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. Jesus knows that he's got to help you change your attitude before he can change your circumstances. So when the anointing comes, part of the assignment of the Holy Spirit in the life of the believer is to deliver the believer from negative thoughts and negative emotions. Give them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy instead of mourning, and the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. Jesus empowers you to have a positive attitude. Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I can do all things. There are people who feel weak, who feel powerless. They are overwhelmed when negative thoughts come, overwhelmed when negative feelings come. No, Apostle Paul says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. In Ephesians 3:16, Apostle Paul talks about how the Holy Spirit gives you power on the inside. Ephesians 3:16, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might through his spirit in the inner man. Jesus infuses power into your spirit. Because somehow, when you have lived with a negative attitude, which is a product of sin, all of us have, the devil sometimes makes us to feel like victims, makes us to feel powerless, especially in an environment like this, where we believe in the negative supernatural. We believe in witches, in the power of wizards, overwhelming power of witches and wizards. A bird sings in the night. Those are our friends. They are years. That's a Yoruba terminology. They call them the Ayes. Aye is actually the world. But they call some specific people the world. In other words, everybody accepts that they are the rulers. They are the ones in charge. And they are witches and wizards that they are referring to. You feel overwhelmed. Ayele, Oremi. Ayele. Ayele, Oremi. Ayemale. Ebemo mabaye. I say life is tough. My friend, life is tough. I plead with the powers that be that they should not quarrel with us. The clothes of honor that we have on, that they should not tear them on us. Life is tough, my friend. Life is tough. That's a nonsense song. Nonsense song. Okay? So when you live, when you've been programmed like that in your upbringing, you grow up believing that life is overwhelming. And even after we become born again, we refuse to exercise our power. He gives us strength in the inner man. We can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. We can be happy in spite of circumstances. Tonight, receive power to be strong on your inside. Finally tonight, one big question. What will it take for me to be happy? Question. What will it take for me to be happy? For some people, my wife must be perfect. Until she is perfect, I can't be happy. The reason why I'm unhappy, I'm depressed and discouraged, is my wife. It's my children. My boss, everybody around me must be perfect, then I will be happy. Do you know what you just said? That it is external factors that control your attitude. That's what you just said. I can't be happy until I get a job. You just gave the devil a secret. We know how to make him sad. Take his job. And then he sinks into depression. Like one man, brother-in-law to a brother, this brother told us the story. The man lost his job. He was broken and finished. This man lost his esteem. Lost his heart, lost his life, just because he lost a job. He could not factor how him would be without a job. As far as he was concerned, he was finished. And one particular day, he had just played a game of Ayo with his friends. It was about 6 p.m. Went back into the house, pulled the bed cover over himself. The wife said, what's going on? He said, I want to sleep, leave me. And then 10 minutes later, the wife was back into the house. The man was dead. When they called this brother, the brother told me that when he got there and looked at his brother-in-law, tears were still, fresh tears were still coming out of the man's eyes. He died of sorrow. He was broken inside. The devil had found one tool to use to finish this one destiny. Lack of job. I said, tonight, receive power in your inner man. But there's another kind of man in Habakkuk chapter 3. I like this man. Habakkuk 3 from verse 17. Hear what he said. He said, though the fig tree may not blossom, nor fruit be on the vines, though the labor of the olive may fail, and the fields yield no food, though the flock may be cut off from the... One man. Only you. Somebody, at this point, somebody will be asking, I don't know what I did to them. Help me to beg them. Why is my own like this? The man says, though the flock may be cut off from the fold, and there be no herd in the stalls, he said, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. The Lord God is my strength. He will make my feet like deer's feet. And it will make me walk on my high heels. I will rejoice. Yes, he said, I will rejoice in the Lord. This is that kind of a year. I said, the person who brings you bad news this year will be disappointed. This is the year of great grace for incurable optimists. Somebody called my pastor and said to him, sir, I had a dream. You know, I saw blood. I saw this accident. I saw, and my pastor told me, I told him, hold it. And the person talking to him was somebody he respected. In fact, somebody he loves. Somebody he respects and loves. But while the person was going on in the middle of the journey, my pastor said, he just told the person, excuse me, hold it. It can never happen. If there is anything I learned from my pastor, it's the fact that he is an incurable optimist. If he grieves for 1 minute, shakes it off, and comes back. You cannot be as wealthy as he is when you're a sorrowful person. When you learn the secret, you know that money and worry don't go together. You know that miracles and negative attitudes don't go together. All the days of the afflicted are evil. This man was listing the bad things. He said, yes. In other words, this is where it stops. I will rejoice. Hallelujah. He said, this is your sack letter. Sack letter at such a time as this. What did I do? Yes. I will rejoice. Hallelujah. 1 Samuel chapter 30. I love David. If there was one man in the Bible who knew how to rein in his emotions, it was David. The exercise tomorrow we'll talk about attitude control. How do I dominate next? Because sometimes it can really, really be overwhelming. How do I dominate my attitude? David went out with his men, came back. Their city had been ransacked, everything, all their houses burnt down, their goods carried away. Not just goods, they carried their wives away. The two wives of David carried away, his children carried away. When they came back, they said David and the men that were with him were crying. He said they wept all night. But 1 Samuel 30 verse 6, but David encouraged himself. That's what makes a leader. That is what makes a leader. That is what makes the difference. That's what makes a role model. What kind of role model are you? If you're going to say exactly what everybody else is saying, you're going to feel the same way they feel and end up the way they end up. It's going to be the difference between role models and ordinary models this year. He said, but David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. And the moment he said that, the solution came in. It was this David in the Psalms that would talk to himself. He said, why are you cast down, my soul? He said, put your hope in God, because my help will still come from him. He said, he talked to himself. Mr. Tear up, man, tear up. Hallelujah. Some people, church is now, like they said, was it Karl Marx that said, religion is the opium of the people. In Nigeria today, people are suffering so much. Coming to church is the weekly elixir. There's so much sorrow. It is when people come on Sunday and say, hey, hallelujah, thank you, Jesus. And then they'll dance. Things are getting better. Hallelujah. Things are getting better. That's why some people don't like our brief services in Desta, because they want 1 hour to dance. Things are, my life is moving forward. Hey, I am going higher. Monday morning, step out into the real life. The situation will just slap them. Bass! Collect the joy. You are going where? David spoke to himself. Excuse me, mister. I may not have any preacher around. I'm going to preach to myself. He said, bless the Lord, O my soul. He was talking to his soul. I like that. You see, because that power of self-awareness is one of the gifts God gave mankind. You can come out of yourself and look at yourself and look at your situation. Hallelujah. Inside the situation, you may not be able to see clearly. You may be the one in the problem. But God gave us the power through our imagination to step out of the problem, look at ourselves inside the situation, pick up some of the sermons we had before, and talk to ourselves in the situation. He said, bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. He said, bless the Lord, O my soul. Hallelujah. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Forget not all his... He said, you want to forget? I know it looks now like this is the worst problem that ever happened to you, but God helped you before, mister. If God helped you before, he's going to help you this time around also. Forget not all his benefits, mister. He forgave your sin before. He healed your sicknesses before. He satisfied your mouth with good things. Your youth was renewed like the eagle. If God did it before, he's going to do it again, mister. Cheer up. Hallelujah. Say, I will talk to myself. Tonight, I declare, once again, I am an incurable optimist. This is my year of great grace. Tonight, I refuse to surrender leadership of my life to lies. I refuse to surrender the leadership of my life to circumstances. I refuse to surrender the leadership of my life to people's faces. Whether people smile at me or they frown at me, this year, the joy of the Lord is my strength. My joy is not from someone. The Holy Ghost is the source of my joy. And I exercise my right to choose my emotions this year. I dominate discouragement. I dominate frustration. I dominate fear. This year, I dominate anxiety in the mighty name of Jesus. The joy of the Lord is my strength. I will give thanks to the Lord at all times. Woo! David said, I will give thanks to the Lord at all times. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me. If you are looking for where to sorrow, don't come around. But if you carry the spirit of celebration, it says, magnify the Lord with me and let us exalt his name together. I will enter his gates with thanksgiving in my heart and into his courts with praise. Sorrowful people have no place in the presence of God because he inhabits the praises of Israel. Say with me, this year, I carry an atmosphere of my own, the atmosphere of heaven around me. This year, miracles happen around my life. No evil shall befall me. Inside every adversity is the seed of a miracle. I refuse to see adversity. I see the possibility. This year, I am blinded to evil, blinded to poverty. This year, I have stopped my reaction to poverty. Lack cannot make me to shed one tear. This year, I only respond to riches. And because I respond to riches, I'm going to be excited. I can never be poor again for the rest of my life. I can never be poor again
rest of my life. This year is the best year I ever lived in my life. I am healthy. I am living long. I am rich. I am blessed. I am highly favored. I am highly connected. I am empowered. God has given me beauty for ashes. I am not a victor. I'm a conqueror. I'm more than a conqueror through Jesus Christ. This year, I possess my possessions. I walk into my destiny. All things are working together for good for me because I love God and I've been called according to His purpose. This is my year of great grace. If you believe it, shout the power. Hands with some 10 people, tell them watch out for me. It's a prophecy. Watch out for me. Watch out. Watch out for me. Watch out for me. Watch out. When I come out to share my testimony, watch out for me. When you see me where you don't expect to see me, watch out for me. When I become the talk of the town this year, please watch out for me. When you see me cruising around in something you never thought I'd cruise around in, watch out for me. Don't be surprised when you see my miracle happen. I'm telling you right now in January, this is an unusual year for me. Hallelujah. Watch out for me.